Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, August the 9th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to allow us to see day by day those things that are important, that we might be able to prepare for the time to come. We thank you for your blessings that you bestow upon us and the strength that you give us. And today, as we continue, we ask for your strength alone and your wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, today I'd like to take a look at part two of that topic that we took a look at yesterday. Hate in God's name. Hate in God's name. The article was found in the Southern Poverty Law Center website, and it was published back on September the 25th, 2017. The name of the article again, Hate in God's Name. Now, the subtext of that topic is religious extremism and its relation to violent conflict. So the topic is hate in God's name, and then the subtext, religious extremism and its relation to violent conflict. Again, it's found in the Southern Poverty Law Center website, published September the 25th, 2017. Now, today, I'd like to take a look, we begin where this part begins, at something called the creativity movement. The creativity movement. And followers of the creativity movement have carried out violent crimes such as mass shootings, arson, attempted bombings, and murder. So let's take a look at the article. Another example of a white supremacist religious concept is the creativity movement. Ben Klassen is credited with creating this religion for the white race in Florida in 1973. Klassen authored two primary religious texts for the creativity movement, Nature's Eternal Religion and The White Man's Bible. Creativity emphasizes moral conduct and behavior for the white race, including its 16 commandments and the five fundamental beliefs of creativity. Klassen had a vision that every worthy member of the creativity religion would become an ordained minister in the Church of the Creator. Followers of the creativity movement have carried out violent crimes such as mass shootings, arson, attempted bombings, and murder. A sovereign city group based in Oregon sold Kingdom of Heaven license plates to fellow sovereign citizens, entitling them to be members of God's kingdom. And now, the Sovereign Citizens Movement is this. It was February the 13th, 1983, that Gordon Call, who often referred to himself as the Christian Patriot, had just murdered a deputy U.S. Marshal on a lonely stretch of highway outside Medina, North Dakota. Two other lawmen were shot as well as Call's son, Yuri. A second U.S. Marshal later died of his wounds. Yuri and a deputy sheriff survived. The gun battle between a group of sovereign citizens leaving a posse comitatus meeting and four lawmen erupted while authorities were attempting to serve an arrest warrant on Cal during a traffic stop for failure to appear. After rushing his son to the local medical clinic for aid, Cal fled the scene in the sheriff's deputy's car. While on the run, Cal wrote a 16-page letter to a fellow sovereign citizen stating the motive behind his attack. He wrote, quote, "We are engaged in a struggle to the death between the people of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. It started long ago and is now best described as a struggle between Jacob and Esau." He also wrote, "If you've been paying tithes to the synagogue of Satan under the second plank of the Communist Manifesto to finance your own destruction, stop right now. And tell Satan's tithing collectors, as I did many years ago, never again will I give aid and comfort to the enemies of Christ. Mystery Babylon, with all its greatness, will be destroyed." On June the 4th, 1983, Gordon Call died in a shootout with Smithville, Arkansas. But not before he killed another lawman who attempted to confront Call in a burning farmhouse. Today, Gordon Call is looked upon as a modern-day patriot martyr by many sovereign citizens, militia extremists, and other radicals on the alt-right. The Sovereign Citizen Movement is a loosely organized collection of groups and individuals who believe that virtually all forms of state and federal government are illegitimate, sometimes referred to as constitutionalists, free men, or common law advocates. They use tactics such as harassment, threats, and intimidation against their enemies. Sovereign citizens have been known to establish common law courts, to issue fake indictments and bogus arrest warrants against public officials. Sovereign citizens have also been known to violently attack, even kill, government officials and others. Sovereign citizens have a long presence on the internet and exploit the public frustration over tax increases, mortgage and credit card interest rates, and perceptions of government greed and corruption to recruit new members. Due to the high level of sovereign citizen encounters and related criminal activity, law enforcement, government officials, and academics are keenly aware of it. Few, however, understand that sovereign citizens' actions are oftentimes based on religious beliefs. For most sovereigns, beliefs about the law are explicitly religious beliefs, said Spencer Dew and Jamie Wright of the University of Chicago's Martin Marty Center for the Advanced Study of Religion. This cannot be overstated. They link their beliefs to points across a border constellation of existing religious traditions. Core sovereign citizen beliefs are based on their own version of law that is derived from a combination of the Magna Carta, the Bible, English common law, and various 19th century state constitutions. Central to their argument is the view of a supreme being having embodied every person with certain inalienable rights as stated in the U.S. Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Bible. Sovereign citizens believe that God created man to be sovereign. That means to be free of man-made laws and governmental regulation. They believe their doctrine is inspired, sanctioned, and sustained by God. It consists of universal divine truth concealed to humanity by the world's most powerful leaders and business elites. A sovereign citizen group based in Oregon actually sold Kingdom of Heaven license plates, passports, and driver's licenses to fellow sovereign citizens, entitling them to be members of God's kingdom. Arthur Verrill Speer, often referred to as the Doctor of Common Law, in his book Pied Pipers of Babylon, considered sovereign citizens' propaganda, summarizes his view of our society in religious terms. Quote, "It is time that we came to the realization that we are engaged in a spiritual war against powers and principalities, contracting parties in high places who have entangled us in their web of deceit via a multitude of non-disclosed adhesion contracts," he writes. SCM ideology appeals to a wide range of people separated by generations, cultural and ethnic differences, and spans the political spectrum. As a result, religious concepts among sovereign citizens can fall anywhere along the theological continuum. For example, some extremist insular communities, such as the Church of Kaweh in California and the Christ County Kingdom of God sect in Michigan, have merged sovereign city tradecraft into their religious organizations. The Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints faction in Hilldale, Utah, also embraces and uses aspects of sovereign citizen tactics, such as engaging in welfare and tax fraud, disregarding federal and state laws or authority, and creating their own police force, which is neither certified nor recognized by the state. As individuals, other sovereign citizens have taken a more common approach to their religious views, such as Bible-based Christian patriotism or holding end-time apocalyptic beliefs. In contrast, some sovereign citizens, particularly those who are younger, reject organized religion, its institutions, doctrines, or scriptures. According to the 2009 Global Sovereigns Handbook, religion is the greatest form of mind control through manipulation of fear, guilt, and shame. Spirituality is the opposite of religion. The Global Sovereign Handbook calls religion the greatest form of mind control through manipulation of fear, guilt, and shame. Then there's an organization that deals with the concept of the mark of the beast conspiracy. Some organization propaganda includes Christian fundamentalist beliefs concerning millennialism and end-time prophecy and the apocalypse, including the mark of the beast conspiracy. They compare today's society to the ancient city of Babylon, allegedly destroyed for its rampant sin, corruption, and rejection of God. According to the conspiracy, Satan rules our world, that is Babylon. The whore of Babylon consists of today's Western nations, comprising 10 worldly and wealthy business-oriented nations. They also believe that the Antichrist will soon rise from one of these nations. Using the interpretation of the Bible, some sovereign citizens surmise that Babylonian law is controlled by merchants or corporations. Since the Bible, Book of Revelation, supposedly says that the law of the merchants primarily operates on the sea, sovereign citizens equate it to today's maritime law. Some sovereign citizens use this interpretation of the Book of Revelation to support their redemption scam. The warfare in Babylon is between the spiritual and material forces, said Verl Speer. The beast derives his power from materialism, deception, and ignorance of the law. He exercises this power under the law of merchants within the jurisdiction of the law of the sea, specifically that of admiral or maritime law. Because of the maritime nature of Babylon itself, the sum of its qualities and characteristics. According to Spears, Babylon, Satan, and the Antichrist are hell-bent on keeping everyone else enslaved in debt, regulation, and oversight. Their objectives are simple: financial profit and power in furtherance of their own self-interest. By succumbing to the materialistic lures and teaching of the Pied Piper of Babylon, the true nature of causation and the purpose of our own beings are hidden from us. Now, you notice that there are all of these organizations, but they all tie in their violence and their nationalism, their white nationalism, to the Bible. They believe that this is all supporting this. Everything that they're doing is supported in Scripture. They also deal with the concept of financial fraud. Sovereign citizens are known to use biblical passages to justify tax fraud as well as defaulting on credit card payments or bank loans. They most often cite Old Testament scriptures, which reference paying usury and taking money from the poor. Sovereign citizens extremists further cite Nehemiah to bolster the belief that oppressive taxation results from sin. Sovereign citizen extremists have also been known to form fictitious churches or obtain bogus pastoral certifications in an attempt to avoid paying taxes. They usually obtain fake ecclesiastical credentials online or through mail order catalogs and fraudulently militarily ministerial schools. This financial scam is called corporate soul. The corporate soul scam attempts to take advantage of special tax benefits available to legitimate churches, ecclesiastical leaders, and other religious groups. Scam artists initially apply for incorporation under the false pretext of being a minister or pastor of a bogus religious organization or group. They falsely claim that such an arrangement entitles them to exemption from federal income taxes as an organization described in such laws, 501c3 laws. Sovereign citizen gurus have also organized seminars charging up to $1,000 or more per person to learn how to file a phony corporate soul to the IRS. Participants are manipulated into believing that their counterfeit corporation soul provides a legal way to avoid paying income taxes, child support, and other personal debts by hiding their assets in a tax-exempt entity. Some sovereign citizens have been known to change their residence to a church, even putting up signs on their property with the name of their fake religious organizations. Courts have routinely rejected this tax avoidance tactics as frivolous, upheld tax evasion convictions against them, and making them to pay for their fraud. Now, what I'm showing you here, my dear brother, my dear sister, is that what we're seeing now, the kind of violence that we're seeing now, it has a background. This organization has been in existence for quite some time. What is amazing about it now is that a lot of them are coming to the forefront, and a lot of the violence that once existed in quiet is now manifesting itself everywhere you look. You and I need to understand that ultimately, you will find that these individuals will ultimately move forward and join together and come together in unity to come against those who keep the commandments of God and who have the faith of Jesus. We are living in a time when we need to understand that all of what God has told us in His Word is coming to pass. You cannot avoid the Word of God because it has always been a powerful statement of everything that will take place in this world. You and I need to be ready. We need to get ourselves to the place where we understand what we believe and why we believe it. We need to be able to find it in God's Word and to share it with others so that they might be able to see exactly what is going to come to pass. In the Great Controversy, chapter 40, which is the title of the chapter is God's People Delivered. I'd like to read for you the first paragraph in that chapter, found on Great Controversy, page 635 and paragraph 1. This is what it says. When the protection of human laws shall be withdrawn from those who honor the law of God. Now, let me read that sentence again. When the protection of human laws shall be withdrawn from those who honor the law of God. It didn't say if, it says when. And that those human laws would include the First Amendment, the freedom to worship, the freedom of conscience. So when the protection of human laws shall be withdrawn from those who honor the law of God, continuing, there will be in different lands a simultaneous movement for their destruction. For whose destruction? For those who honor the law of God. Those who do not comply with the laws that are about to be passed, ultimately. Continuing. As the time appointed in the decree draws near, what decree is that? A decree that will be announced because there will be those who have managed to remove the protections of human laws for those who honor the laws of God. When the decree is announced, the people will conspire. What people? All the people. The people will conspire to root out the hated sect. Who will be this hated sect? Those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. It will be determined to strike in one night a decisive blow, which will utterly silence the voice of dissent and reproof. One night. All of those, and we're not talking about ICE, no, we're not talking about the cops or the federal government, we're talking about citizens who have been collecting their weapons for as long as they have been around and available, who have long been expecting some sort of war for which they are preparing. When the protection of human laws shall be withdrawn from those who honor the law of God, there will be in different lands a simultaneous movement for their destruction. As the time appointed in the decree draws near, the people will conspire to root out the hated sect. It will be determined to strike in one night a decisive blow, which will utterly silence the voice of dissent and reproof. The second paragraph in that chapter says this: the people of God, some in prison cells, some hidden in solitary retreats in the forest and in the mountains, still plead for divine protection, while in every quarter companies of armed men, urged on by hosts of evil angels, are preparing for the work of death. It is now in the hour of utmost extremity that the God of Israel will interpose for the deliverance of his chosen, Saith the Lord, ye shall have a song, as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goeth to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down of his arm, and the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones. And then the third paragraph, with shouts of triumph, jeering and imprecations, throngs of evil men are about to rush upon their prey. How will they rush upon their prey? Because they are armed. They are armed. With shouts of triumph, jeering and imprecations, throngs of evil men are about to rush upon their evil prey. Their prey, when lo, a dense blackness deepens the sky, deeper than the darkness of the night, falls upon the earth. Then a rainbow, shining with a glory from the throne of God, spans the heavens and seems to encircle each praying company. The angry multitudes are suddenly arrested. Their mocking cries die away. The object of their murderous rage are forgotten. With fearful forebodings, they gaze upon the symbol of God's covenant and long to be shielded from its overpowering brightness. By the people of God, a voice, clear and melodious, is heard saying, "Look up!" And lifting their eyes to the heavens, they behold the bow of promise. The black angry clouds that covered the firmament are parted, and like Stephen, they look up steadfastly into heaven and see the glory of God and the Son of Man seated upon his throne. In his divine form, they discern the marks of his humiliation, and his lips, they hear the request presented before his Father and the holy angels. "I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am." Again, a voice musical and triumphant is heard saying, they come, holy, harmless, and undefiled. They have kept the word of my patience. They shall walk among the angels, and the pale, quivering lips of those who have held fast their faith utter a shout of victory. One more paragraph. It is at midnight that God manifests his power for the deliverance of his people. The sun appears shining in its strength, signs and wonders follow in quick succession. The wicked look with terror and amazement upon the scene, while the righteous behold with solemn joy the tokens of their deliverance. Everything in nature seems turned out of its course. The streams cease to flow. Dark, heavy clouds come up and clash against each other. In the midst of the angry heavens is one clear space of indescribable glory, whence comes the voice of God like the sound of many waters, saying, "It is done." That voice shakes the heavens and the earth. It matters not how many weapons are accumulated now. God's people will be delivered on that day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the promises that you have made in your word. We thank you so much that you have given us in advance the information that we need. We ask for the strength and the faith that we need so that we can stand. We ask that you would help us to spend time with our word and on our knees so that we would know what we believe, why we believe it, where to find it, so that we will be ready. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your Daily Briefing, August the 9th, 2019.